This is Dr. Brastad. Welcome to the program. It's 12:24. Hello?
Hi, Sandra Hosman's here.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Good. I'm fine, thanks. I was just calling in response to the concerns raised by a constituent about...
Yes, this issue with this woman with I think it's in Hainesville or someplace like that.
Yes, it is.
Where this lady has been throwing out feces and urine and stuff. This has been going on forever. What's going on?
A very long time.
So what are the health authorities?
It's two situations that we actually have that are like that in Hainesville. And part of the issue is, and one of the reasons why I'm calling, I know it's not always easy for people to understand the process and the challenges you may have with the process. So it feels like if nothing is happening and nothing is being done. But this has been going on for a very long time. Part of the issue is that in both cases, one is a case with dementia and another one is mental illness. And to get it sorted, the person would have to be admitted either to the psychiatric hospital or, barring that, to the geriatric, because they can't go in the alternative care program, which is where government would pay for people to be taken care of at the private centers, because they're not structured to deal with people who have mental illnesses. They actually have to be in an institution that can care for them and understand how to deal with.
But it takes so long.
Problem.
It's taken so long. I mean, isn't this a public health nuisance?
It is.
So if we have a public health nuisance, I would expect that there would be some urgency attached to this. This could not happen in any of the heights and terraces of Barbados. This happened because it is Hainesville. This is why this has been allowed to go on for so long. This is the kind of stuff that we are talking about that is wrong in Barbados. Painful.
I'm not sure that is.
You believe this would have happened? This would have been allowed to happen in any heights or terrace of Barbados for so long? For 5 years? Those people would start to tell you about how much money they're paying taxes.
And generally, they will have more resources to be able to bring in a private psychiatric nurse to help and stuff like that, and to be able to care for the person at home. But in a place like Hainesville, in our working class communities, they don't have those resources.
That's why they depend upon the government. They depend upon the government.
Exactly. And what would have happened is the psychiatric hospital, the geriatric hospital, was full to overflowing. If you can remember, when we first came in, you had a number of elderly people who had been abandoned at the hospital. And the geriatric was full. And for a long time, they couldn't get them out of the hospital. They eventually were able to clear some space by putting some people in alternative care and shift some of the people in the hospital over to the geriatric. We would have started from then. So the issue was they didn't have the space. And we've been talking with the psychiatric hospital, the doctor there is Dr. McLaughlin, and to help us with being able to aid these families, because it's very, very hard on them. And it's very hard on the neighbors.
All right. You've been explaining it, but we don't have as much time because we're going into the news. Would you care to come back to us and explain it further after we've gotten through the news? All right?
Yes, we can. And I particularly call because I wanted to highlight the fact that care for the elderly is going to be an issue going forward.
We are going to talk a bit more about that. Down to brass tacks, when we took a break for the news, we had on the line at that time the MP for St. James South, Sandra Husbands. Are you back with us, Ms. Husbands?
Yes, I am. And thank you again for giving me the opportunity to share.
In the interim, there has been some reaction. One person here says that what needs to be done right now is that you need to cut to the chase and tell us what you are going to do as we speak for this woman, because we, according to this person, we don't need a short story on the problems. What we need is a solution to what is happening in the middle of a pandemic.
Yes, we do. And I really want to express my regret to the family and neighbors, because it really is a terrible issue. We would have spoken, as I said, to both the psychiatric hospital, the Ministry of Health, and people empowerment. They've been trying within the limits of their resources to try to assist. Part of it is that you have to have the person assessed by a mental health professional, and then to get the person to come out of the house. If they're not willing to come willingly, you have to get the police now to come and do that. But that's not something that the family or I can trigger.
Let me ask you though. When you look at this this particular problem, what is it telling you about our system and the extent to which it is succeeding or failing?
Two things. It is easy, like before I was a minister, it seemed easy that if there's an issue, you pick up the phone and it's solved right away. It really doesn't work like that in practice. There are two reasons why something will not get done. Either people are not organizing their work sufficiently to process something so that it's done effectively and in a responsive way, or they don't have the resources to actually execute what needs to be done. In this case, it has been a resource and a space issue. And by the time COVID came in now, that lengthened the time. But to cut to the chase to get to the update, I would have spoken yesterday again with the Minister of Health, because he's aware of the situation. We would have spoken to him, and he says that he will start to take some steps to see what can be done, because his challenge has been access to the necessary resources to be able to find places to be able to put people that they can be cared for. This is part of the issue. And it is heartbreaking for the family, because a lot of families are not structured to really care for someone who has these types of problems. So it is a real difficulty all the way around.
So where does your Department of Elder Care come into all of this?
They actually assisted by sending a social worker when the psychiatric hospital didn't have enough people to come and do the assessment. They sent out someone to...
I must tell you, this sounds unbelievable in the sense that something like this could go on for so long, and even at this stage, we are being told about all of these bureaucratic challenges in trying to tackle this one problem, this one specific issue here.
While this one would have been publicized by the community, don't feel that there aren't situations across the country where care for the elderly...
That's what makes it even more frightening.
People being abandoned and needing help and are not having sufficient resources at this time to be able to alleviate it. I know it is something that is on the Prime Minister's mind, on Cynthia Ford's mind, and as an MP, certainly on mine, because one of the things that I recognized is that we will have a crisis, because while I have these two situations that we've not been able to get the resolution as quickly as we would have wanted, I have a number of other families who are caring for people with dementia, people with Alzheimer's, and it has been breaking them. They managed to do the care, but at a tremendous cost to caregivers. And this is why Prime Minister had outlined that we needed to develop a set of public health services that work in the community itself.
But I think what you're saying to us is a little deeper than that, you know. That's the outreach. But beyond the outreach, it is the system, the bureaucracy, and how one department relates to the other, the kind of coordination. This is where the problem seems to be.
But it's also a resource problem. It is also a resource problem. Yes, we do have system problems where, you have something that's dealt with here, and this person can't do this until this person does that. And this is how it has been for a while. This is one of the reasons why you see that we're looking at the whole thing of how to reform the system so it's more responsive. Because here's what happens. You put your finger on it. When a system is not responsive, people have to keep reaching out to an MP or a minister to try to get it fixed. And unless you reform the system so that there's certainty in the system, the MP making the intervention, you make an intervention for two people, but how many other people are waiting in the line, waiting to get the same service? So, one, we have a resource issue. We have a system issue. But we need to find ways. The other thing, and this is the last thing I will say about the wider issue, is years ago, families lived near to each other. Families were large. So the care of an elderly person would be shared by a number of people. What you have now are that families have become smaller over the years. So elderly people now would have had two children, three children, not a lot. And by the time you have one or two that go overseas to live, and there's only one child here, and that person then has the care of their parent or parents, as well as the care of their family, their work responsibility. So what we're finding is that there's a lot of stress on middle-aged children who are carrying a lot of load.
And how much of this is new to you since you came to government in 2018? How much of this you became aware of only after then?
More on how the system works, but in terms of the problem, I had been noting it all the time that I was in the constituency, because I would have lost the election in 2013, and I would have been in there since then.
You're surprised by the system.
When I watch, yes, it's a system that you don't realize how convoluted it can be at times, and if there are not sufficient resources, how that really can slow it down.
All right, but to talk to the woman there in Haynesville who says, I'm 4 months pregnant. I can't deal with this.
No,
what can
can't.
You do? What can you do for her now?
Well, what we've been trying to do is to see how we can get the person admitted. The problem is that the care for that person requires specialized care. In that case, it's a situation of dementia, and unless you can get someone with psychiatric skills and be in an institution where the person will be kept safe, it's not as easy as trying to get the person into an elder care home in the private sector. We have tried that, and it's only when I spoke with the doctor at the psychiatric hospital, he explained to me that it couldn't be done that way because they are not set up to deal with patients who have those particular mental issues.
I've done work with people concerned with the spread and the growth rather of dementia, Alzheimer's, and Barbados. And this is a huge problem across the world, and Barbados is not untouched. It therefore makes me wonder how many people are living in these conditions in this country today. And they can't really rely upon the state to help. The only people who seem to be able to get it done well are those who have closely knit families and people who have got the capacity to be able to provide them. And therefore, there must be so many people who are just going through all sorts of challenges of this type.
And this is something that Minister Ford, it worries her because she recognizes how huge the problem is. And the point I was making before is that because families are smaller, they're less able to...
So what's the best that the government can do? People expect that the government will do. So what's the best? Yes. What is being contemplated now to deal with these issues?
Well, what was discussed, and when they have it formulated and find the resources to do it, because at this stage, it is about finding resources as well. So and that is not easy with the COVID, not easy being in an IMF program, etc.
So the immediate answer seems to be nothing.
Well, they may find a temporary solution or try to find a temporary solution for these two issues. But in terms of a structured solution that addresses the entire issue that you have across the country, one of the things is that we need to put public health nurses, for example, into the community again, because you also have the problem with the NCDs, because a lot of seniors suffer with NCD problems. And because you don't have enough institutional capacity, you have to be able to care for people in their homes. So it means that you have to look at creative ways of enabling people to care for people in their homes. So, like, for example, if somebody has a child who is physically or mentally challenged and they have to stay at home to care for that child because you can't get an ordinary person who comes in to look after the house to look after that person, but that person then cannot go to work. So can we find resources as a country to be able to give that person something to assist them in being able to care for this person who needs the extra care? Can we provide nursing services, access to nursing services, medical services? Can we provide daycare that is specially structured for the elderly? Sometimes everybody is not ill and needing special care. They just need engagement. Can we empower the people who are setting up nursing homes? Now, part of the issue with nursing homes is that from a business perspective, they will take a house that has a number of rooms and try to use that to do the care. But because of the regulation that says you can only have so many people, so much square feet, and X number of persons to care for them, it makes it difficult for those enterprises to be financially viable because they don't have the numbers. What you need now are purpose-built care facilities for our elderly.
I must tell you, it is difficult to emerge from the conversation without putting to you what is an obvious comment that some will bring to you. The government says many hands make light work.
Light work.
Okay. Right. And therefore, this problem, we appreciate, is something that you've inherited. But so far, it is difficult for us to see or to hear anything concrete that is emerging. And then that puts, that's grist for the mills when it comes to those people who say, well, you know, with all of this manpower, all these heads, all these this thinking, all these people to pay in government, and you mean to tell me this is what we're getting? How do you respond to that?
The problem is primarily a resource problem. And you would have had COVID came and would have diverted your resources. This is part of the issue. It's not that there isn't a plan. It is that the resources to execute in the way that you would like. Because you've got to change a number of things. And it isn't just providing the space. There are also a number of other things that you have to put in place to support your program for how you're going to care for the elderly in your environment, along with providing the institutional care, the nursing care, the medical care. You also have to look at how are we going to educate the population to adjust to the fact that more and more people will have to find ways of caring for their elderly parents, their elderly relatives. How do you help them do that?
That's the general picture. And I suppose a lot of feedback that I'm getting here online really speaks to the immediate problem. They don't feel as though we've had any answer to this immediate problem here with this woman. You got two problems. You got a dementia issue, then you got a mental health issue. Assuming that there are two different issues you're dealing with here, two different people. One presenting with dementia, the other presenting with the mental health challenge.
Mental health.
And then the third person is the pregnant neighbor.
One of the solutions that they're looking at, based on my discussion with the Minister of Health, the St. Lucie District Hospital, they're hoping that once we can come back down from the COVID needs, you'll be able to reestablish the residents in that space and it should free up some space at the geriatric hospital that we can try to get them in there. But that is something that depends on being able to free up the space.
We're trying to get COVID era, and one of the things that I know we walk about with these masks and try to protect ourselves. If somebody's throwing feces out the window or out the door, I know that elsewhere they say that COVID has been traced, has been found in feces. So, I mean, we can't say that happens here in Barbados, but the truth of the matter is that anything is possible given the way that this disease goes. So what you want to do, in the same way that you're saying that people start wearing to wear masks to protect themselves, you also want to take the precaution of ensuring that nobody's throwing feces out and you don't know what's likely to come of that. So that's part of what makes this situation so urgent. I mean, I suspect there will be those in Barbados who will immediately say, well, we don't have that problem here. True, but we didn't have COVID here all the time either.
No, but the Minister of Health is actually fast-tracking a response for this because he understands the urgency of the situation. As I said, is not only a problem that you would find in St. James South, you may have problems other places. So we don't know how much demand is out there. But every effort is being made. But I'm really sorry that the relatives, the neighbors have to be suffering while we're trying to get it sorted out and trying to find the resources. Because our main crunch is not the will, it is getting the resources to be able to resolve these issues and then to see how we can get back on track with our economy, that we can generate the resources to deal with medium and long-term solutions now to the issue of how we're going to care for the elderly going forward, because it's very important. And even simple things, I'll say this last thing before I go. In my constituency, we'd had some training programs for people, and one of them was care for the elderly. And the day that it was starting, I went down to start the class. I intended to stay half an hour and pop back out into the constituency to do some visits. But when the lady started to speak about the care for the elderly, she had me so riveted. I had to call and tell them I can't come to the constituency. Now I'll have to postpone. And I sat through that class. I went to every class she had. And as I listened to it, every single family in Barbados should hear or go through care for the elderly. It will make a tremendous difference as to how you care for and respond to the elderly that are your family members.
All right. Well, we will come back to that at some other point in time, because I do agree with you. It is a major problem that the country faces. It's an expensive undertaking. The people who are actually in a position to care for the elderly will tell you that it takes quite a sizable amount
it's
of money to do so. And, you
I'm
know,
fine.
On time. And when you're dealing with the people who have Alzheimer's or dementia,
yeah,
sometimes the caregivers can go crazy it drains people, it makes them ill and that sort of thing. So this is a whole comprehensive program that one needs to look at in trying to address it.
Correct.
And I sincerely hope that the government will come with something soon that the rest of the country can identify with. In the meantime, people, I hope this lady doesn't have to call me back on brass tacks in another 5 weeks to say nothing has happened, really.
Right. I will undertake to keep her updated, and if we get any progress, I will call and let you know.
Well, please do.
But we are working on it.
All right.
It's just been very difficult.
Well, I thank you very much for taking the time on calling.
You're very welcome.
Goodbye.